Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
And I'm Ben Jones.
It's December 13th, 2017.
Almost Christmas, almost New Year's, almost the end of the year. Christmas. Time has flown by.
And what do we hear every, no matter where I go, I was in the pool hall the other night. Five people came up to me, the most unsuspecting people that would want to talk about investing. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about Bitcoin. Everywhere I go, people want to talk about Bitcoin. They think I know everything about Bitcoin. I understand everything about trading Bitcoin,
yep.
You know, how to trade it, the charting and things like that. But understanding the basics of it, what we're going to do is we're going to, next week, next Wednesday, we're going to have a webinar or something like that on Bitcoin itself.
Right.
So I want you all to tune in. You want your customers to tune in or anyone to be able to dial in. This is the time because I'm going to get all the brains I can put together. And we're going to talk Bitcoin.
Yeah, stay tuned. We'll definitely post information about this webinar or a conference call. We'll either be posting our Daily Active Report or Twitter. I think it's a must, right? Because one thing is, we're getting questions about it from advisors. We're getting questions about it from relatives. We're getting, I think, we have a couple analysts out there on the road today who called in here that are airport, mm-hmm. and they're hearing people talk about it. And
yeah,
I think it would be nice to kind of distill it, simplify it, kind of talk about what it is, how it works, how you can use, technical analysis, i.e. the point and figure methodology to track it and have an objective view of it.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be exciting.
Well, I got a call last night and I was talking to a guy on the phone. And he said, well, it looks like technical analysis is out now with Bitcoin. I said, absolutely not. I said, because all with the point and figure charting is really the only charting methodology that you could really use with it where you can increase the box size, mm-hmm. which will have a tendency to control the volatility. When you increase that box size, you get a beautiful picture, but your stop points might be very painful.
Right.
So like I have said here, it has been said by a philosopher, everything is poisonous. It's just a matter of degree. So when you're looking at the chart and you say, wow, I think this is going to go higher, can I buy 100 shares of GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Trust? Well, probably not. I mean, the volatility is definitely too high for you. Can I buy one share? Yeah, maybe one share is what you should buy. And that controls that beast volatility. So you can look at the charts. But by the same token, make sure that you don't over-leverage yourself. It's like options. Back in the day when options first came out, back in 1974, we would do options. We'd look at them as inexpensive stocks. So when you came to me and opened an option account, I'm going to buy you 10 contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 10 contracts represents 1,000 shares. When you were probably a 200-share buyer.
Right.
Then I should only buy you two contracts of options because each contract is 100 shares. When I put you into 10 contracts, even though it's a smaller amount of money than you would actually invest in the stocks, you're 1,000 shares.
Yep.
And that's when the problems happen is over leverage. So with Bitcoin, the same thing can happen here too. They have a tendency on some of these sites where you can buy Bitcoin to keep your volatility or to keep your volume low.
Right.
However, when you trade GBTC, there is a firm on Wall Street that just shut down all trading in it. I don't know why they did that. It makes no sense to me. What you should do is just like we look when we give someone a test for their modern portfolio theory that's going to do all the things to get them to a great retirement in Hawaii. We gauge them as aggressive, moderate, conservative. You could do the same thing with Bitcoin. If a person is typically a 100-share buyer or something, he might want to only buy one share of Bitcoin.
That's true. That's the neat thing about it, too, is that as this segment of the market continues to grow and expand and change, there's a lot of different venues that investors can access, Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies, right? And I think that's what we're going to talk about next week is, what it is, how you can invest in it. Because also, too, there's not just Bitcoin. The ironic thing is that while it may not be approved by some firms is that, some investors are exploring ways where Bitcoin can help diversify portfolios because, one of the advantages of it is that it's not historically, it was never related to, global capital markets. There was no correlation with Bitcoin and U.S. equities or fixed income or the U.S. dollar or commodities, right? It was this other asset kind of in outer space that was unrelated. And now as it becoming kind of, you know, the tentacles of the market are kind of bringing it back with futures and the ability to use leverage. And it's going to be interesting to see how it changes over time. But, yeah, let's change different direction, you know, because we don't want to, you know, talk about Bitcoin this whole podcast. You know, let's really talk about some other assets because we're going to spend a lot of time next week on cryptocurrencies. But, you know, we're nearing the end of the year, Tom, and, you know, it has been an interesting year for all assets, right? Whether Bitcoin or the S&P or U.S. equities or international equities, there have been a lot of areas that have been working. There have been a lot of areas that, you know, haven't been working. But, you know, what's interesting is that if we look at the S&P 500 today, you know, while everyone's talking about Bitcoin and maybe, you know, getting a second mortgage just to buy Bitcoin and use even more leverage, you know, the S&P 500 is still ratcheting higher.
That's right.
If you just look at the trend chart of the S&P 500 today, it broke another double top buy signal at 2670, so 2670. Another higher high. Another double top buy signal.
Well, the thing about that, too, is, you know, a lot of times the customers are coming in and talking to the advisor saying, you know what, I want to be passive. I want to do a passive investing. I've been reading all about it. 92% of active money managers have underperformed their bogey or the S&P 500 over the last 10 years. Go Google that article. You'll see it everywhere. And they come in and say, look, buy me the S&P 500. But my conversation with them would be, do you realize that there are a number of S&P 500s?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer would be, no, absolutely not. There's an S&P 500 cap weight, which is like Congress. There's an S&P 500 equal weight, which is like the Senate. There's an S&P 500 growth. There's an S&P 500 value. There's plenty of just S&P 500 for you to discuss and be in the right place.
Right.
If you were S&P 500 growth this year, you're up 25% this year. If you're S&P 500 cap, which is all you hear on CNBC, they'll never let you discuss anything else. You're up 16%. Okay, that's great. 16% is fantastic, but you have the capability of being in one that has better relative strength.
Right, and so you know, how do we find that? How do we determine that? Which one has the better relative strength? You know, on the system, you can compare, you know, growth versus value, or you compare the RSP, which is equal to S&P, versus cap weight S&P, using our smart chart tool, which allows you to simply compare the two indexes against each other on a relative strength basis. So comparing the relative performance over time using the point and figure methodology. We've also built out some very dynamic tools that allow you to see multiple relationships, like the relative strength matrix tool, where instead of just looking at value versus growth, you can throw in blend, you can throw the cap weight, you can throw equal weight, you can look at all those indexes relative to one another. We also do that in Dolly. And to your point, you know, if we look at Dolly today,
what's Dolly?
Dynamic asset level investing.
Okay,
it's a macro asset class ranking using relative strength to identify the strong asset classes versus the weak asset classes and the strong sub asset classes. And you know, you mentioned a good point: large growth, S&P 100 growth. That is the number one style box right now. Large growth. So when we look at the nine size and style boxes, so these are the different areas of the U.S. market. Broken down by their style, growth, blend, or value, and their size, large, mid, or small. You know, large growth is the number one style box, followed by mid, blend, and small growth. So that's another trend in 2017 is that, you know, in terms of, you know, where you want to be today or wanted to be, you know, historically, it's growth, right?
Yeah,
I mean, large growth, small growth is in third
Anyone
place.
Anyone who's been a value mid-growth. Investor, and you see a lot of money managers say, oh, I'm a value, I only buy value stocks. Well, you have disserved your customers because value hasn't done anything for the last number of years.
Large values in last place, small cap values in third to last place. Yeah, it's a laggard. And what's interesting is that sometimes value does experience that somewhat of a what we call a laggard bounce or a mean reversion. It does spike up. You know, typically during bouts of volatility in the market, and we've seen that over the past couple of years. It might improve a little bit. But right now, it is in dead last. And so what's interesting is that, you know, I've gotten a lot of calls from advisors lately about, hey, you know, what is going to be the emerging markets of 2017? You know, what's going to be the biotechnology of 2014, right? You know, what's going to be an area that was a laggard that all of a sudden takes off, right, that no one's talking about? Because everyone wants to have that hot new trade, whether it's large growth or emerging markets this year. And so, of course, naturally, we look for bargains. We look for deals. We look for value. Just for everyone, value shopping for the Christmas holidays, waiting for the Amazon sale online. Everyone's doing that in the stock market as well.
Yeah.
But the problem is, though, that can put you in some bad places. And that's what we see today, is that there's no way to predict the future. So we need to go with what is. And what is today is large growth, mid-blend, small growth. That's what's working. Technology, financials, industrials, that's what's working in the sector space. In the international space, emerging Europe, Asia developed, Asia emerging. That's what's working. So what's fascinating today is that we don't have to go value bargain hunting right now, because those areas that are ranked high and have been outperforming are continuing to do that. So those trends are intact.
If you look at the long-term picture of the RPG and RPV,
and those,
that's growth of value versus value. January of 2015, you had a buy signal in growth, and it's still in effect, and no sell signal has taken place. During that period, you did have a point where value did pick up and do better, but you still did not have that signal that said go value. You're still growth, plain and simple. And that's from January 2015. We're about to hit January 2017. Still is. So you want to watch these kinds of charts right here. They're long-term in nature. I think back to the year 2000, October 2000, all of a sudden we saw for the first time in years value became the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Equal weighted became the place to be. Small cap became the place to be. And that was the first time in years that took place. All you had to do was buy a small cap value fund, equal weighted fund, and do nothing. Leave your customer alone for 13 years.
Yeah.
So these things are long-term in nature.
Yeah, and you need to see the evidence, right? You need to see those signals occur, right? Because time and time again, you can keep buying those areas at the basement, right, the bottom of our rankings, those laggards, hoping for a bounce, and they might not happen for another 5, 10, 20 years. Who knows? And so what's interesting, too, is that, we see in Dolly, kind of those areas of leadership we just talked about, and then we see some synergies across our different models that are available. And I think, I can't speak enough about our model-based solutions on our website. I mean, for those advisors and investors that are looking for guidance and looking for a systematic approach to the markets, come to the models page, right? We have models for all different asset classes, all different instrument types. And, what's interesting is that, as we kind of close out the year, we have seen not a lot of rotation right now. It's still pretty stable. A lot of our sector models still allocated towards technology, still allocated towards industrials. We haven't seen the models go into any of those cryptocurrencies yet.
No. Well, here's the way I see it. Being around for as long as I have, I remember the dot-com days. And in the beginning, the dot-com days was anything that was dot-com potential technology. It was all on the come. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the technology yet, but you were betting on that technology coming. Well, these stocks went through the roof, and I mean, you made a lot of money. In January of 2000, the play was over. 2001, 2002, it was basically a dot-com bust.
Right.
Well, what happened then was these companies that were all on the come with technology that was coming down the road began to get it. Now we're trading the same stocks again. Look at Amazon. It's got that technology. You can take any company out there. Some of the companies that were just dead in the water now that have that technology are becoming highly volatile and doing extremely well. So Bitcoin is going to be the same thing. It's all on the come here. Nobody really gets it yet. They're going to get it. But eventually Bitcoin, this is all speculation that's happening now. Eventually somewhere down the road, and I don't know where that is, there's going to be substance.
Right.
And it will continue moving. So I don't see this thing. I look at it like the dot-com craze.
It's interesting. And then I think that's what everyone is kind of, references, the dot-com craze. Me being a fan of history, especially, financial history, the tulip bulb collapse, that bubble, is one that everyone talks about and alludes to. And I think one of our colleagues, Chuck Fuller, actually, showed me a graphic the other day that this, if you want to call the Bitcoin a bubble, which, it is, has surpassed the tulip bulb mania.
Mm-hmm.
And the velocity in which it has surpassed is mind-blowing. So, again, this is all some stuff that we'll talk about next week. I think everyone listening will find interesting. But for now, everything at the top of the rank is pretty stable. U.S. equities continues to lead in Dolly. Our models continue to be allocated towards growth. And you can say the same thing about the sectors.
Think about this, too, with the tulip craze. When you said the velocity, it just hit me. What was the velocity back then of a trans English Channel trip? Velocity is pretty slow.
Oh, yeah.
You were on a wooden boat,
yeah,
and that's where the tulips were taken across there. And the reason that the option business started back in the 1500s, especially puts, because they needed some sort of an insurance product if the ship went down and they had the tulips. Okay, fast forward to today, velocity. How fast can you get over the English Channel today if you took off from Holland and flew to London?
An hour.
Would it be a whole hour?
Yeah, probably less than that. I don't know. Maybe 2 hours. I mean, pretty quick.
Take the fastest jet we have.
Yeah,
real available quick. To us. We take off in Holland and we land in London. Look at the velocity. Okay, why wouldn't the velocity of Bitcoin be that today too?
But now think about even take it a step further. Think about communicating between Amsterdam and London. We're talking of a fraction of a second.
Yeah, exactly.
Instantaneous, essentially, speed of light, right? And that is velocity. So that's what's so interesting. Is, you know, think about tulips and, you know, the way they were trading option contracts. They were, trading them in the bars of Amsterdam, right? Men and women in these dark, cramped corners trading essentially options. Now it's these dark corners of the internet, right?
Exactly.
Instantaneous.
And it's still, and we're dealing with it. You know, when you look at, I just showed you a picture of a chart of the GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Investment Trust. Okay. I raised the box size to $50 per box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Chart looks pretty normal, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, if you cover up the name, you ignore the price, it kind of looks like Amazon's chart from earlier this year.
you'd say, I want to buy it on a pullback, maybe to 2100. If it could do that, no guarantee that it happens. And then if I put in here and I say, okay, let's go to 100 points per box, 100, go. Now the chart is going to slow down and look even more enticing. The problem is, here's where the problem is. If you bought it today at 2300, your first sell signal is 1500. Can you take that kind of heat? The answer is probably no for most people. Therefore, you're going to lower the size of the amount of stock you're going to buy in this Bitcoin trust to maybe one share.
Right. Well, and again, we're talking about, you know, just best practices just for investing and trading. You know, we can replace Bitcoin with, you know, Apple, right? Or a Japanese yen, US dollar cross rate. I mean, it's knowing your risk tolerance, right? Knowing its position sizing, right? I mean, these are all best practices that we talk about in our daily equity report all the time. Mm-hmm. Just what's changed is the name and the asset and maybe the volatility. And these are all just great topics that we'll bring up in our roundtable discussion next week. You're talking about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. So we'll have to put that together. That's something that we came up with today.
Yeah, when you said change the name, it just hit me. The shows you watch on TV is change the name to protect the innocent. See you next week.